Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Winning isn't a mystery.
It's remaking the odds in your favor
by developing a strategy through deftly applied expert information and insights.
Where do you get this information?
Right here.
Well, duh.
Get the winning edge. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Welcome back into the Early Line, live right here on Sports Grid on this Tuesday morning. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside. Let's start it off. Week 12 in the NFL. Now, shorter week here on the Early Line overall. Tomorrow, we are going to be breaking these games down. We're going to talk Thanksgiving action as well. And a little programming note. You want some more K-Dubs and DRS? Cowboys, Raiders, in-game live. We'll have you covered. It will be can't-miss action, I promise you that. But, Donnie, we got to look at some of the big games coming up here. And we always like to start it off with the teams that finished out the prior week here. The Bucs and the Giants. The Bucs just beat that team 30-10 Monday Night Football. A comfortable cover and a sad under, no doubt. This coming up game, though, for Tampa Bay, a lot different. An Indianapolis Colts team that is playing really well, coming off of maybe the best win any team has this season. The Bucs are still favored, in fact, by a field goal on the road. The total for this one, DRS, is 51.5.
Boy, that's a strong price here for Tampa Bay, -3. And you're right. You saw last night how well they performed, a 20-point win over the Giants. But also, let's keep in mind, Sunday afternoon, there was no more team that was more impressive this weekend than the Indianapolis Colts handling their business against the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo in the rain. A dome team going outdoors and playing more like the team that should have been in Buffalo all along, that was impressive. They got to back it up again this week because it's not going to be easy against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. Now, coming to town, let's see what happens coming this week because you should get more activations in the secondary, as I keep talking about here with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, as they get healthier as the season goes on. Antonio Brown has missed about a month of football. Does he show up on the field this Sunday? Because that team will be electric on turf. So the way I'm looking at trying to approach this game, am I counting out the Indianapolis Colts? Absolutely not. They are right in the thick of things, and even Frank Reich can probably be selling to his football team right now. Hey, guys, I know we probably gave up on the division just a week ago or 2 weeks ago. Well, not look now. The Houston Texans just went and beat the Tennessee Titans. We can steal this division if we continue to play well. So now you're coming up against Tampa Bay. Initially, I'm looking at this game saying, how can I take the Indianapolis Colts at the 3 at home? Because I think they've turned the corner on the season. They're now healthy, and they can do some damage. But at the same time, instead of looking at both sides here, well, who's going to win this game, the two good football teams? I look to that 51.5 that's sitting here on the board, and I say to myself, if Tom Brady has a running mate, like I think he will with this Indianapolis Colts offense, nobody's going to stop scoring here. Both of these teams should be able to approach the mid-20s, which gives you a legitimate chance of taking down that total. That's the way I'm looking. But overall, from a fan perspective, this is going to be a really good football game.
I got to tell you, though, when you look at this game, Donnie, it's one of those that is a reminder to me at times that these lines are not meant as predictions, but it's about where the money needs to land here. Because I think when you hang the 3, I think you get plenty of people like yourself, and I agree, that would want to bet the Indianapolis Colts plus the field goal in their own building. But I think the Bucs, especially when folks get to watch them in prime time, are going to want to back Tom Brady because it's Tom Brady. There are a lot of people, you never bet against Brady. You never bet against Brady, except on the road this year. They haven't covered a single game on the road. They have a losing record on the road here, Don. You've got a Colts team that's 5-2 against the number as a dog. I think you try and project where this line moves, and I think it's more likely it dips under the 3 than all of a sudden you're backing Colts plus 3.5 come Sunday. So keep that in mind when we're talking early lines. If you are someone that's willing to bet on a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, I think the Colts plus three would be the value play there based on where this will start to shift. Now, let's make sure we get the radio audience in here. Appreciate all those tuned in to the early line on Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside here with you on this Tuesday morning, looking at some early lines, Week 12, NFL. Donnie, the Giants coming off of Monday Night Football as well. They're home. They're 3.5-point home dogs to the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, is this one of those games where Joe Judge circles the wagons and says, hey, we were embarrassing, we can't be embarrassing again? Are we one of those that want to step in front and say, hey, I think the Giants can rebound? I don't know about that. Now, the Philadelphia Eagles front seven is not as electric as the Tampa Bay front seven, which made Daniel Jones look like he was scared to play football, particularly in the second half. Maybe that eases up, but at the same time, you're looking at a Giants defense where Tampa Bay walked up and down the field and did whatever they wanted to them. Now you're going to get an elite run game and a dominant offensive line that's probably going to be able to push around that front seven. What has shown you over the past month that the Philadelphia Eagles can move the football on anybody? I don't know, everything. They have been absolutely astoundingly good by running the football and using passing as a secondary option. Two teams right now, to me, Kevin, heading in a different direction. But at the same time now, What are we looking at, Kevin? A favorite for the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, look, last week opened up as a -1 for the New Orleans Saints, flipped over to an Eagles favorite. Now everybody's looking at this as the Eagles are a market favorite here going on the road, actually going to play back-to-back games in the Meadowlands, taking on the Giants this week and the Jets the following week. This is a big stretch for the Eagles up to the bye week. I can't in any way, shape, or form come here on a Tuesday morning, Kevin, and say I'm trying to build a case to take the New York Giants. I just can't do it. The Eagles early in the week for me. We'll see if that changes later in the week.
You know how this will play out, though, right, Don? The folks that like to bet the ugly teams, they'll be on the Giants, lowest of lows. They'll check up. They'll perform. And that's about the only way you'll be able to make a case for the Giants. Losing record against the number at home. The Eagles have a winning record straight up on the road and against the spread at 4-2 overall. And here's the main part of it. The Eagles have been favorites twice this season. Against the Lions, 44-6. And against the Saints, 40-29. And again, it wasn't even that close. The Eagles have, it's been very simple. The great teams outclassed. The average teams right there, seemingly they get the job done. And the bad teams, they've blasted on the rare occasions that they've been able to face them. The Giants are a bad team here overall. We'll see if the Eagles get the job done. There are a lot more key games in Week 12, including Packers, Rams. We'll talk about that next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Early lines, look here on Sports Grid. Packers, Rams. I have to tell you, Donnie, I was surprised when I saw this spread here. The Packers and the Rams is a straight pick. -108 on the money line each way here. The total is 48.5. Did you share a surprise when you saw this here, or did you expect this line to be as even as it is?
I think it's a little bit light here, Kevin. When I take a look at the initial thoughts and you say, wait, Green Bay is only -1 in their own building where they play well. And oh, yeah, we're talking about playing in late November in Green Bay for a dome team with the Rams. Now, the Rams going to be rested and ready. One would think, yes. But also, this isn't a Rams team that hit their bye week full cylinder on offense. They look terrible. And even Sean McVay saying, hey, we are out of whack. Let's see if we can come back and make this happen. Now, the defense of the Rams is very good. You're going to have Jalen Ramsey that's going to be right over Davante Adams. That is going to be a sensational battle to watch. But at the same time, you are giving me Aaron Rodgers at home in a basically a pick'em situation. I thought they would lose last week to Minnesota, and I was right. But they were right in it to the end, and Aaron Rodgers, with that banged-up toe, even said it after the game. It's going to probably take me until after the bye week for this thing to get right. But the simple fact is I'm getting 35 degrees in Green Bay with a good Green Bay team where I have Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback to win this game, again, with a pick'em. And from what I've seen from the Rams – you know, hey, maybe Odell Beckham Jr. comes into this game, knows the playbook a lot more, can play 70% of the snaps as opposed to like 20% of the snaps. That could help here. Mm-hmm. But I got to tell you, the more talented team is the Rams. But I'm not betting against Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers in a pick'em game roughly at Lambeau.
This is why I'm surprised, though. I didn't think that would be the price on the Green Bay Packers. Now, I don't think it is an easy spot to line up and fade the Rams because I still believe, Donnie, as you do as well, that is a very talented group. And that team to lose a third game in a row is difficult. Sometimes, and I know people don't always agree with this, but results can be connected. And this almost would be a lot easier for me had the Packers beat the Minnesota Vikings, where they're coming off of a win, continuing to ride high, and now the Rams can stomp them. But a losing streak will be here for whomever doesn't get the job done in this game. I think the side is tremendously difficult. I am interested by the total, though. Early week, I thought under in that Vikings-Packers game. By the time we got later on during the week there, it was a dropping number, and you wondered if Minnesota brought the juice, would Green Bay responded? And Green Bay responded. Donnie, if that Packers defense is a little bit vulnerable here, 48.5, there's enough offensive talent. This should be a higher total than it currently is.
It should be, but I actually agree where it sits at. Opened up at 49.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Now we see the 48.5. Let's see how much lower it goes when we finally get those, you know, weather reports on Thursday or Friday or even a little bit later on Saturday, because it is supposed to be cold. And yes, that is a dome team. But you still should be coming in, you know, pretty healthy on both sides of the football. Obviously, Aaron Jones probably not going to play in this game for the Green Bay Packers, and maybe they hand the football off more to A.J. Dillon. But I just look at it where this is Aaron Rodgers' territory. This is where he wins games. Now, it would be different for me if the Rams came into the bye week running on all cylinders and busted up the San Francisco 49ers. But the fact of the matter is they looked bad in that football game. They couldn't score in junk time in that football game. So I'm led to believe that Sean McVay, who I love as a play caller, everything is going to get fixed. And maybe that would have been the case, Kevin, if they were playing in Los Angeles in the dome. But they're playing outdoors in cold weather. That is a cold weather team for Green Bay. Maybe they hand it off again more to A.J. Dillon. But I expect greatness like I do every week from Aaron Rodgers. And I think they're going to have enough in the gas tank to get this W.
It's going to be an interesting one, no doubt. Another really interesting one. Boy, if this doesn't represent how different these teams have moved after, what, 1 week of action, Donnie? The New England Patriots, 5.5-point favorites against the Tennessee Titans. I mean, just like that, this Patriots team is viewed as maybe a legitimate contender in the conference. And the luster off of a minus nearly 200 favorite to be the number one seed in the AFC is favored to lose once again. What are your thoughts? Your total pretty low as well, 44.5.
It's pretty crazy how 1 week can change the narrative on a lot. But, you know, 1 week for the Tennessee Titans, but it's been about a month or so building here for the New England Patriots and how well they've started to play. Now, you say, look, hey, they beat the Buffalo Bills. They beat the Kansas City Chiefs, the Indianapolis Colts, the Rams, and the New Orleans Saints. Like, man, this is a really good football team. And then one rainy game against Houston where they play terribly and end up with a loss. The narrative goes from maybe a slight favorite here in New England up to a 5.5 now, as we see at the FanDuel Sportsbook with a total of 44.5. Now, I have to be honest. If we're looking at this game from an overall perspective, New England is the better football team now. Do we think that the Tennessee Titans are good? Absolutely. Vrabel is a good coach, and maybe that's just a one-week makeover where they lost last week at home to Houston. But this isn't one of those teams where you're coming now on the road and saying, hey, you know, we'll see what this young rookie quarterback. Mac Jones doesn't look like a rookie. That offensive line is healthy, and it's nasty. The running game is working. Timely catches from the wide receiver position and tight ends, and also, yeah, a Bill Belichick defense that's really coming into its own, particularly from rushing the passer. I think the New England Patriots should be able to win this game by a touchdown, but you look at that total of 44.5. This isn't a game where now I'm looking for the New England Patriots to slow it down on offense and just play really good defense. They know they have a pretty good quarterback and an offense that is humming. They're going to look to continue that this weekend, but from the same perspective on the Tennessee Titans, they're not going to say, let's go out and establish the run on the road against the New England Patriots. They're going to have to throw the football. Actually, like the over here, Kevin, early in the week in this game.
Boy, it would be nice to see the Titans getting back to their over ways. I have to bring up, though, here, Donnie, a trend that I cannot get over. The Titans have been an underdog 5 times this season. They have won every single one of those games. And that includes one without Derrick Henry against the Rams on Sunday Night Football. And yeah, it was a little bit fluky as Matthew Stafford got spun around and found the wrong team when he should have maybe just took the safety and the 2 points that came with that. And I understand how the Patriots are playing right now, but this does feel like a spot, Donnie. We talked a little bit about right betting the Giants because it's the ugly side. There are legitimate reasons to bet the Titans, even if they are the ugly side in this one here. Enough time to bring up Sunday Night Football, Ravens, Browns. And I'll tell you right off the bat here, DRS, I was looking at this game. Now, of course, the caveat of if Lamar plays applies. But I think a Baltimore team total is an early week look here. The number is under four touchdowns at around 26 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. This Baltimore team averages over 30 points per game at home. Cleveland is giving up a shade under 30 points per game on the road. I think you've got a great spot here for Baltimore to bring the action on the offensive side of the football, and I'd rather isolate a team total because I don't trust anything coming out of Cleveland right now.
Yeah, I don't trust anything coming out of Cleveland right now either, because you're getting a quarterback that seems like he's getting injured by the week goes in Baker Mayfield. Now, Nick Chubb looks like, hey, a buck over 100 yards on the ground last week. That's fine. But something is broken on this football team, and maybe it's just everybody's banged up. When you get all the wide receivers back healthy, maybe that'll help. Same thing with the offensive line, and also you have somebody that can spell, you know, put Kareem Hunt in the game who can spell Nick Chubb, who is the starter. But having said that, they're going into Baltimore. It's a 4-point line. You know what the interesting part about this is, Kevin? It opened up as a 5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook, and it's dropped to a 4, which is very interesting. Now, the one thing that you need to see throughout the week is Lamar Jackson missed this game with a viral illness. It wasn't COVID-19, but it said he had a lot of congestion in his lungs, which means you're grasping for air, maybe a little bit lethargic. Mm-hmm. I need to see Lamar Jackson, Kevin, on a full work week here before I press the button on the Baltimore Ravens. But I agree with you here. I like the Ravens early in the week at the -4. I think you can get over the total of 46.5, but in no way, shape, or form my early week saying, you know what, now's the week that Cleveland's going to step up and rise to the occasion and win a big game on the road. Baltimore or nobody for me earlier.
And that is why we talk about being able to wait and take your approach there. By the way, we mentioned the Cleveland Browns and making the playoffs. -188 to miss the postseason. The Cleveland Browns, a group that had legitimate Super Bowl aspirations here, and they just seemingly will fall short of the mark. I don't think it's Odell's fault anymore, though, or maybe it still is. Somebody asked Troy. Well, come on back. We're talking college. The two best teams in the country face off.
Sports professor Rick Harrow inside the $1.3 trillion business of sports with your daily numbers game. We thought Sport Radar was valued high at $8 billion as of their last transaction, but what about the transformative NBA deal that was just announced? Global worldwide partnership, WNBA, NBA G League, all of the NBA properties in Sport Radar, and not just a betting relationship worldwide, but data analytics provider, shot and player tracking analytics, and also a team dedicated to maximize the fan experience on behalf of all of the teams. Taking a partner that earned its dollars on the back of the gaming industry and basically creating a mainstream opportunity for Sport Radar and a model for everybody else to follow. This is not only an incredible partnership for the NBA and the gaming industry, but for everybody else in sports business. Sports Professor Rick Harrow, Daily Numbers Game.
Winning doesn't just happen.
It takes a plan.
A strategy, all based on expert analysis and trusted information.
That's what you get.
Right here.
The Winning Edge.
We're not just doing this because we're nice guys.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
College basketball. It is early. We have number one. Verse number two, a rematch of maybe the game of the tournament last year, Gonzaga, UCLA, and a lot of familiar faces will meet on the court for this one. If you look at the odds to win the national championship, Gonzaga is plus 600, the favorite. Interestingly, though, UCLA is not the second choice. Actually, fourth at 12-1, though not far back of Purdue and Duke, who share an 11-1 price to win the national championship. Tonight, Gonzaga is a 5.5-point favorite with a total at 156.5. But before we get to the exact game, Donnie, I want to just step back a minute here because I am under the impression that even though this is a November basketball game, Gonzaga only has so few against elite, elite competition that I think they matter in the grand scheme. And that game against Texas, Donnie, where they comfortably won, I think is a big reason why that plus 650 number on them to win the national championship dropped a little bit here. Do you think I'm wrong in overreacting and saying that tonight's game will have a bit of an impact on the futures market overall?
I think it will, but at the same time, Kevin, we have to get this notion also that Gonzaga plays nobody here. It's kind of unfair. Do they have an easier conference schedule? Yes, they do, but look who they're lined up to play. They already played Texas, UCLA, Duke, Alabama, Washington, and Texas Tech. And that's all that's going to be lined up before we even get out of the month of this, or even before Christmas. So the fact of the matter is that I know it's a long season. Everybody always looks at how you're playing at the end of the season. But the fact is, I think that preconceived notion, Kevin, on Gonzaga is the simple fact is they play the West Coast Conference and maybe a decent team before conference play. But that's not the case. They are playing 5-6 nationally ranked teams that they go out and look for. So if you're telling me that they're going to be Texas, UCLA, Duke, Alabama, Washington, and Texas Tech, and then get to conference play, and then if they get tripped up at Santa Clara on January the 15th, oh, they can't be the number one seed. You've got to be kidding me here. Mm-hmm. This team deserves to be number one. Their schedule is a number one schedule, and I think they're going to play like it. But you're right. It's going to determine because the haters out there of Gonzaga, if there is any, see that? They matched up with a team like UCLA. They couldn't handle their business. That's ridiculous.
And I actually think in some respect, Don, it almost goes the other way. So, yes, they play very, very good teams, and intentionally so in the beginning of the year because they have to. Because, look, the WCC is not the same as the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the ACC. It's just not. But that is why they line up all of these good teams here. And I think, Donnie, in the performance that they put forward against Texas, if that's replicated here against UCLA, see, that is the difference between a Gonzaga, right? We're all talking college football. We're talking about Cincinnati proving themselves. Gonzaga's done that. Gonzaga isn't the darling anymore, no matter what anybody wants you to believe. I know everyone wants Mark Few and the Bulldogs to win a national championship. It would be a great story. But they are half of the next team in terms of winning the national championship here. People believe in Gonzaga, but performances in games like this, Donnie, push it to that next level where if they come out here and beat UCLA by double digits, it moves them maybe from 6-1 to 5-1. And another market that I have to bring up, and something that I have to tell you, I was off base on early reactions. The Drew Timmy price as a huge favorite to win the Wooden Award here. I felt vindicated after the opening game against Dixie State as Chet Holmgren was embarrassing other college players. And then the Texas game, and Drew Timmy puts up 37 points while Chet Holmgren is battling foul trouble the entire game and barely contributing to the winning effort here. This, though, game, when you think about not only Timmy out there on the floor and Chet Holmgren, but also Johnny Juzang, who is top three in odds to win the National Player of the Year. It is such a big game, Donnie. I think you can even see that market shifted with a couple of key performances here tonight.
You're absolutely right, because people are going to remember, did you play each other? How did you play in that game? Because we're anticipating a very good year for Gonzaga, but at the same time, UCLA as well is going to be one of those top five teams when it's all said and done when we're heading into March Madness. So if you go head-to-head and say, okay, Drew Timmy drops 31 points and Johnny Juzang drops 16 points, it's going to be hard to overcome, even if Johnny Juzang has an unbelievable Pac-12 conference schedule and heads right into the college basketball, you know, field of 64. That is going to be hard to overcome. Perception is reality. These two teams, look, they're probably not even going to play one-on-one technically against each other, but we're going to read the box score when it's all said and done. So you are correct. Tonight will go a long way, probably determining the John Wooden Award, even though we still have 25 or so more games to go from each one of these guys in the regular season. It's crazy.
Now let's talk a little bit about this matchup here, because it is going to be Gonzaga, 5.5-point favorite. Some folks on the West Coast just woke up, maybe clicking away. Gonzaga here moving to 6.5 now. That total, 156.5 here, Donnie. A game taking place in Vegas. What do you think? Number one versus number two.
Yeah, here's one thing you can't do. And, you know, maybe if you're a novice to handy, say, okay, well, let's see who they play. Hold on. Gonzaga played better than me 92-50. UCLA did that 75-62. Easy win for Gonzaga. Now, obviously, we know that's not the case, but some people will say, where's that common opponent and how did you handle your business? Both of these teams are really good basketball teams. But when you look at Gonzaga, it's almost like a trust factor more. If you came into this game, Kevin, and you said to yourself, who do you think is going to give you the more honest effort night in and night out? To me, it's going to be Gonzaga. If you take a look at the season, you know, Dixie State, okay. They beat Texas by double digits, which is great. Alcorn State, Bellarmine, Central Michigan, they've really blown teams away. They are ultra talented. At the same time, you take a look at UCLA, they've done primarily the same things outside of taking a look at Bellarmine. I'll tell you what was a really nice win was that win against Villanova, where they were dead to rights late in that game, ended up coming all the way back and picking up the victory in overtime by 9 points in that one. So as we're looking forward now, it's just a trust factor for myself. We're not at Gonzaga in the kennel. We're not at Pauley Pavilion at UCLA. We are in Las Vegas, which is a neutral court site. But also keep in mind, the bright lights are on. It's like, oh my gosh, Gonzaga, well, we got to perform in a national spotlight here on a neutral court against a good team. They've been there and done that. I have to tell you, before this game tips off, I'm looking towards Gonzaga. It may be the square way to do it, but I just trust them more in a game that's going to be played in Las Vegas. Again, the spotlight is there. They're used to it. I think Gonzaga can handle the business tonight, Kevin.
It's hard not to like the Zags in this spot. Now, you mentioned the UCLA 13-point win against Bellarmine. It's a look-ahead spot. They didn't – listen, at the end of the day, that game doesn't matter. They know what's on deck. Gonzaga, though, goes out there and beats Central Michigan by 53. That game at the half, Central Michigan was shooting 50% from beyond the arc. Gonzaga was shooting under 25%, and it was Gonzaga who was up 56-32. It's unbelievable. And I think the game, Donnie, that people will bring up here to back the Bulldogs is actually going to be that Villanova game. Which people say, what? But UCLA won that game by 9 in overtime, but Villanova was up 10. With not as much time to go in that game as you would imagine there. And I think people will trust the Gonzaga, who, by the way, beat Texas by 12. But for me, this is one where I'll look to keep it simple. That, you know, implied Gonzaga team total is going to be, what, 80.5, 81.5? That's just an offense you want to back. They just go bing-bong, running up and down the floor all game long. They consistently do this. They will answer the bell against a team like UCLA here tonight. And that's the thing, too. Like, I'm not worried about the UCLA. If they're a running mate, great. If they're not playing well, Gonzaga will run it up on them, if so be. I think that's the way I'll look to play tonight's game here. Number one versus number two. Very, very excited for that. Enough time for us, Donnie, to bring up the MAC games here tonight. College football, two-pack of games. I will let people know, in-play sports tonight, myself and Donnie, 7 p.m. Eastern start time. We will take a look at these MAC games here tonight. Last week, we had some fun looking at some of the first half numbers. We found the bet that made all the sense in the world, and it basically hit too quickly for some folks to capitalize. And that's not like braggadocious. That included us. A 75-yard touchdown all of a sudden kind of blew up the big plans. But I'm excited to follow these live. But what about pregame, Donnie, here? Ball State hosts Buffalo, and Western Michigan is a road favorite against Northern Illinois.
Yeah, and welcome to the MAC here. If you guys haven't caught up already, you know, playing these games on Tuesday, Wednesday nights, seemingly like nobody plays defense, and crazy things happen, as if you're taking a team total of 34.5, and one team say, hey, Donnie, I'm going to guarantee you one thing. Your team's going to score 5 touchdowns. Hey, maybe they kick a couple field goals, but 5 touchdowns, we got this one settled. A missed extra point on the very first touchdown of the game last week cost me a team total, which is devastating, but that was par for the course for last week. But now looking towards here, these two games, Buffalo and Ball State, both of these at the same time here. One at 7 o'clock here that's going to be played at Ball State. One that's going to be played at NIU. And the first thing that always rings up is how much these guys give up on the ground typically, and also, Kevin, quite frankly, in the air. Look at the first game here, Buffalo-Ball State. Rushing yards against Buffalo in the season, 207 yards per game, good for 5 yards per clip. You say, okay, they're probably a little bit better here on defense in the air. Not so fast. Pass yards per attempt against Buffalo, 9.3. Looking at Ball State here, not the best offense overall, 142 on the ground, 202 in the air, but you should get points in that game. That listed at 58.5. So in the early game, Kevin, I should say early game, the first game listed on the rotation, I'm looking for points here over the 58.5.
It would be nice to see. We've noticed, you know, that the Ball State, can they carry their weight in that one? Buffalo's a bizarre team. You look at some of the against the number trends for these teams. Like, again, if you're a trend better, there's like, you've got a team in Ball State that's 1-4 against the number at home. Buffalo, that's 1-4 against the number on the road. A classic give me the total kind of a game. And as far as the side goes, though, in that Western Michigan game, Western Michigan's really struggling. They have not covered in 4 in a row, 5 of their last 6. Overall, have only covered once on the road this season. And Northern Illinois has a winning record against the number at home and are 4-2-1 as a dog on the season. An opportunity to get it over the field goal there isn't a bad look on the Huskies. Something to keep in mind. Again, the live looks, though, in action, I think will be fun tonight. We'll have you set up for those. We'll also talk NBA later tonight, but we talk it in our next segment, 4-game slate. We'll break it down.
This is the Technology Minute with George Capalbo.
A private ride to space, it's all fun and games if you're William Shatner.
In an instant, you go, whoa.
Otherwise, lately, space tourism is having a few technical problems. SpaceX Crew Dragon?
Stinky.
Leaky plumbing?
Oh.
Richard Branson's Virgin Galactic? Grounded by the FAA for airspace violations. And unless you're comped like Shatner for your ride,
this is so weird.
Your 1-hour flight? Really expensive. Now there's an alternative. Worldview and Space Perspective are offering up to 12-hour leisurely balloon flights 100,000 feet up to the top of the stratosphere with gourmet meals and the world's highest rooftop bar with separate plumbing. Follow me at GCapalbo on Twitter and stay tuned to The Technology Minute for more cool stuff like this.
When you need to know something, you trust someone who's been right on the money before. That's where we come in.
That's what we do.
But we just call it the winning edge to save time. You're listening to Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
NBA time here on the early line. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Rideside with you on a Tuesday. 4 games to break down in the NBA. The biggest game, the Knicks and the Lakers. But credit to the NBA. Stepped up. Did what they needed to do. Suspended LeBron. Nope, that was obviously a horrific decision. And people are like, no. Oh, Kevin's defending LeBron. Let's be honest here, right? You remember the Kevin Durant flagrant foul against the Pistons where he elbowed Kelly Olynyk in the face and then threw him to the ground? Oh, you don't remember it? Of course you don't. Because it was a play that happens. But Kelly Olynyk didn't go crazy and try and storm Kevin Durant and then try and run around the tunnel. So they just gave him a flagrant 2. And then he was ejected. And then that was the end of the deal. So now the NBA needed to step up, make a statement that this can't continue. LeBron's actions that have happened throughout this league, throughout the years, throughout this season. And now, and this is why I'm truly bothered by this. It isn't about LeBron. It's about the fact that LeBron comes to the Garden once per year. And LeBron is only going to come to the Garden a couple of more times if we're being honest about it. And as somebody who sat here a stone's throw away from the Garden, it is outrageous that there are folks who paid tremendous prices to go to that game and don't get to watch LeBron James play because Isaiah Stewart ran around. You want to send a message? You want to send LeBron? Do it when the Lakers host the Pistons at the Staples Center. Fair enough. Fine. Donnie, it is an overreaction by the league that to me is completely mismanaged, and really, it ends up harming the people that were going to Knicks Lakers more than anybody else.
Yeah, and I understand the point here because you do want LeBron James playing in Madison Square Garden, the 7:30 start. All eyes would be on the Garden, and that's not going to be the case now because a lot of the luster is gone. But I guess you have to say to yourself, if you're the NBA, you can't let this go on because what's going to stop the next person from running around and acting like a maniac? And then you say, okay, who was the aggressor who started it? It was LeBron James. He has to get at least one game. But my favorite part about this whole thing with Isaiah Stewart is, where was he running to in the locker room? Like, the Lakers were on the court. Was he going in there to, like, steal, like, their sneakers or their suit or, you know, take a hat from LeBron? I have no idea what he was doing, but it's seemingly right. You can't have an escalating influence, but at the same time, you couldn't have penalized Isaiah Stewart two games and not given LeBron at least one. Just the fact that it matches up with the Knicks in the Garden is the one that damages because, as I've said, if they were playing in Dallas, you know, in Atlanta or anywhere else, sure, those fans were buying tickets and Lakers fans and you want to see LeBron James come to your town. But the fact that it is in the Garden on a big stage, that sort of hurts the NBA here. It's almost like one of those where they maybe could reach out to LeBron and say, hey, LeBron, if you want, you know, put in a thing with the players union as a grievance that said you shouldn't be get suspended. We'll at least have you play in the Garden. Then we'll decide at a later time what the appropriate punishment would be. I'm pretty surprised the NBA didn't handle it that way because losing LeBron James in the Garden, it's not a good look for the NBA.
I like that move there from Donnie. Always thinking. Again, people pay $200 to go to this game to watch LeBron. And that's like that's just to get into the building. It's like $200
months in advance.
And but at least you set the precedent that if a guy gets a flagrant two, he will be suspended if the guy he fouled runs around the court like a maniac. Perfectly handled, way to go, nailed this situation. Awesome. Ridiculous. In play sports tonight, though, we'll talk about, you know, I might not talk about this game in protest, Donnie. I'll talk about it now, though. You have the Knicks here as what I'm seeing, a 6-point favorite out of nowhere. Someone just got news that Anthony Davis isn't playing tonight. Right? Did that just come out, Donnie?
Yes.
They were 3.5-point favorite literally a second ago. Someone somewhere just found out that AD isn't going to play in this game or LeBron got traded to the Knicks. What just happened here? I don't even know how to break this game down anymore, DRS.
No, I'm actually looking here and trying to go through Twitter to see if there's any updates on that. I'm not getting anything exactly right now, but you're right. I mean, that would have to be the occurrence is that somebody big is going to miss this game. It can't just be that LeBron is out, so the Knicks are the best team in the league, and they'll handle their business very easily. There's a reason why that line would have jumped up here. But also, Kevin, when you're trying to break the game down, you know what makes this equally hard? The New York Knicks and coach Tom Thibodeau still trying to figure out their rotations and who's actually going to play. Because contrary to belief, most people look and say, okay, I'm going to lay the 6 points. Or I'm going to go over 2 or 14.5. But DRS here is trying to line up 3-point props and double-doubles for Julius Randle. Thank you on Saturday night, Julius, for hitting that plus 140. Really appreciate it. Now, coming back to that, do I want to take Evan Fournier? Do I want to take Kevin Walker? Who's going to be playing in the fourth quarter? Or are we going to get one of those famous things where Derrick Rose hits 1 3-pointer at the first quarter and Kemba Walker gets sent to the locker room where he doesn't even see the court? It's an interesting game all the way around. Let that market settle a little bit later. But you're right, a huge jump here in the morning just to talk over the game itself.
That is a shift that I don't remember, and I've been doing the early line for a while now, ever really remember seeing. Again, it's not like people just found out LeBron is suspended. If I didn't go on a rant about LeBron being suspended, we would have broke this game down and moved on based on a 3.5-point spread. That's a very surprising thing to me. I will say this, and as Donnie mentioned, yes, the Lakers are horrific against the number. So are the Knicks. They're 3-6 against the spread at home this season. Also, their offense is in tatters right now. They have gone under in 9 of their last 10 games. Their team total, based on, again, the adjusted number here, will likely be over 110.5. They have only been able to hit that once in their last 10 games. Just truly a broken offense right now. We'll see how this plays out. We'll see if Anthony Davis plays, which again feels like the only justification for a wild move like that. The other primetime game, Donnie, Blazers, Nuggets, Lillard, Jokic. Hopefully those fellas are out there getting in the mix. The total for this one is 213.5. Portland is a 5.5-point favorite.
Yeah, dare I say I like the Trailblazers in this game, Kevin. 9-8 on the season doesn't look all that impressive. And then you slide it over me like, well, what do they do at home? Yeah, well, they're 8-1 overall at home. And now we see them as a favorite here at home Look, if I'm looking from a player's perspective here, Nikola Jokic, okay, great player. You know, Porter Jr. might be out for the year, it looks like, and who knows what damaging parts that would be for his career. But if I'm just looking from a performance and a team that steps up at home, if you think the Trailblazers are going to win this basketball game, which I do, then they're probably going to cover the 5.5. I know it sounds simple there for us. 3-point player props will be interesting for this one, but the game tips off at 10 o'clock, so well after we're off the air on In Play Sports Night. But to me, if we are playing at home in the Moda Center in Portland, the only way I look is towards the Trailblazers. They've proved it, and they've earned that respect at home there.
6-3 against the spread at home, and the only thing that is stopping that record from being three straight home covers is beating the Sixers by 7 as 7.5-point favorites. I will say these teams met on the 14th, you know, less than 10 days ago, and the Nuggets beat them 124-95. Now, that game in Denver, no doubt. But the Nuggets have at times had Portland's number. But that, to me, is a little bit more interesting, Donnie. If Denver can bring this offensive performance and you get Portland's home offense, we can finally get ourselves in over. I cannot tell you how heartbroken I am that we are not constantly lining up NBA overs this season. But they broke the league with rules and basketball changes and all of this other stuff here. A lot of complaints from me this morning around the NBA, which I don't like to do. But they're justified. Also, Jokic had like 28-9-9 in less than 30 minutes in that game. As long as this one isn't a blowout either direction, all of his props make a lot of sense here. Let's talk Heat Pistons, Donnie. A huge game here. Isaiah Stewart not playing. How will the Pistons survive? They're 10-point home dogs. A horrible basketball team. The total here is 208.
Yeah, we'll see what happens here. Obviously, Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, P.J. Tucker, Bam Adebayo, much, much better than what the Detroit Pistons are going to be running on the court tonight. So maybe looking towards player props, Cade Cunningham, who's been a friend of the show for us here, whether it's knocking down three-pointers or getting over 15 points, we'll see if he can be included. Sadiq Bey is a decent three-point shooter, but at the same time, you're right. We're looking here at the Detroit Pistons. What's the angle, Kevin, that maybe Heat go in to play Detroit and it's cold because they're used to playing in Miami? Like, we're talking about stuff that doesn't even make sense on the NBA court. And trying to factor that in to take out the Detroit Pistons. It's one of those games for me. If I'm looking for a favorite on the road, that's probably going to be close to double digits, as the FanDuel Sportsbook is listing the Heat as 9.5-point favorites. Sometimes it's as simple as, I don't know if I like them for the full game because maybe the starters are out of it and you get a late run from the Pistons. But in the first half, just give me the Miami Heat up by about 6 or so points. If they're up by that, they're probably going to cover for the game. If they're down by 10 at the break to the Pistons, which I can't imagine, maybe it's going to be harder to cover this one as basically a double-digit favorite. Heat first half for me in this one. Boy, it's going to be hard to try to find an angle to take those Detroit Pistons.
Might alt-line it here, Heat minus 30. I now officially hate this Pistons team. One of my favorite things that came out of this game was people going, man, that's a real shame for the Pistons. Isaiah Stewart was a big reason they were up in the game. But they threw out LeBron. What? Isaiah Stewart for LeBron was the trade-off, and it was the Pistons that were hard done. Isaiah Stewart had 4 points and a rebound in 19 minutes of work and was a plus two. And that's why they... Enough. I hope the Pistons lose every game the rest of the way. What an absolute clown show. Last game here on the NBA slate. Clippers, Mavs, Luka Doncic. Will he play for this team? I believe the answer is already no. And that is not good for the Dallas Mavericks because they need Luka Doncic. Currently on a 3-game slide without their star man here, DRS. You've got the Clips as a 5.5-point favorite. This total, 207 and a hook.
Yeah, going back about, what, like 10 games or so, you look at the offensive performance when Luka Doncic is out on the court. You can almost pencil them in for being in the 100, you know, 105, 110, 115 points. Last three games at the Suns, loss. Another game against the Suns, loss. And the Clippers, a loss. Now you're going to factor in the Clippers again today. Doesn't it seem so simple not to outsmart yourself here? And also keep in mind, if Luka Doncic did come back tonight, does that mean he's the old-school Luka Doncic that's going to be dominating and playing 35 to 38 minutes in a game? Or will he be on a minutes restriction and you might get an actually better number here on the Clippers? One to keep an eye on, but a simple cap as well, as we just talked about, the Portland Trailblazers for me. Is Portland home? Yeah, sign me up. Is Luka Doncic out of the lineup for the Dallas Mavericks? Yeah, sign me up against the team that they're actually playing against here with the Clippers.
Now, one thing that Don and I always do is we bring up schedule makers. Who made this Mavericks schedule?
Yes.
At Phoenix, and then at Phoenix again, at the Clippers, and then at the Clippers again. This isn't the pandemic scheduling anymore. No other team in the NBA is doing this. It looks like a mistake here. I truly have no idea how that happened. Like, teams double up at the Staples Center all the time, Donnie. It's just that they play the Clippers and then the Lakers, or vice versa. My favorite little anecdote was the fact that the two Phoenix games were both on ESPN, which was just super bizarre. It was like, what are they running, a re-air right now? I'll say, when you look at this game overall, Phoenix and the Mavs go under that first game. Next go around, they get over the number. The Clippers, they went under, and they went bang under. Neither team crossed that 100-point threshold. Sometimes a little more familiarity. Also, you kind of have both teams coming off of a poor shooting night, and if both teams take in that positive regression, now you play over 207.5, which is a little bit of a discount based on where that number was from that prior matchup here. Honestly, I wish this was just the Mavericks schedule. They just play the same team twice, same building. They'd be my favorite team to cap, because I just go, hey, what happened yesterday? All right, we'll fade that, or we'll back that. That'd make life a lot easier there. Again, no Luka Doncic, though, of course, makes things tricky. That'll do it for the NBA, and that'll do it for most of the early line. But next, to close out a Tuesday edition here on Sports Grid, Donnie asks you to listen up. One of my favorite segments in the history of Sports Grid closes out the early line after this quick break.
Game time decisions.
Look what happened when George Kittle came back. It changes everything. San Francisco is a damn good football team now. The Rams, they're flaky. San Francisco beat them up. Why wouldn't you take a flyer on a team like San Francisco? They're peaking at the right time. I think the Niners are dangerous. I think they could beat any team in the NFC at any time. I'd be very fearful. And that includes Tom Brady and the Bucs.
It's game time decisions with Gabe Morenci and Cam Stewart. Weekdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. On the home of the Winning Edge, the Sports Grid Radio Network.
It's a jungle out there.
So many possibilities, prospects, and probabilities. It's easy to become overwhelmed.
That's where we come in.
Relax. We're your trusted source for expert information on sports gaming strategies and information.
This is Sports Grid Radio on Sirius XM.
Last segment of the day for the early line, right here on a Tuesday on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. Both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Wallace carrying you through from 7 to 9 a.m. before we hand it off to the Morning After and Ben Stevens. But as always, before we do that, people, listen up. All right, one of our favorite times of the year now, heading towards the college football playoff. And the topic today is going to be, does Cincinnati hold the key to college football playoff expansion? And I do believe they do. Now, keep in mind, I do have a small ticket in my pocket at a plus 350 price for the Cincinnati Bearcats to make it in to the college football playoff. Will they? We'll find out. Another step tonight will be when the college football committee reconvenes and tells us who is going to be in the top four. So we take a look at the top four as it currently listed now on the AP rankings. Georgia, 1. Ohio State, 2. Alabama, 3. Cincinnati sits in the fourth seed. Will the committee say they are the fourth best team in the land tonight? Will it be Notre Dame jumping over them, which would be hilarious, but a fantastic talking point to have, seemingly because the Bearcats already beat Notre Dame in their own building? Or will Michigan jump ahead? We'll see that tonight. But let's keep in mind here why I need to be commissioner of college football and why Cincinnati holds the key here. Because the simple fact that we're even talking about whether an 11-0 Cincinnati football team deserves to be in a college football playoff is ridiculous. And why is that? Division III football. I played Division III football. 32 teams get into the playoffs every year in Division III. I was never one of those 32 teams, and that's okay. But still, you had a chance to get in. You weren't fighting for who's a better team, and you didn't play this team or that. Take a look at Division II. 28 teams get in the college football playoff there. Take a look at the FCS. 24 teams. So why do we only have four teams get in the FBS division? It is lunacy here. Cincinnati, whether you make it in or not, this should be a gateway to an expanded playoff of 24, 28, or 32 teams. Make it happen. You know what else you need to make it happen right now? Watch Ben Stevens in the morning after coming up right here on the grid from 9 to 12. As for the early line, both myself, Donnie Wrightside, and Kevin Walsh, we will see you tomorrow.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found Nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only. Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, winning isn't everything. Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.